Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow believers, you finally reach that age when your parents will leave you home alone with your friends or your siblings. But they still tell you, no roughhousing. And that's a command that you just don't follow. You and your friends and your siblings do things that you know you're not supposed to do. And lo and behold, you break something. Whether it's a lamp, a window, a TV, or whatever it may be. And so you try your best to fix it. You try your best to cover it up. Or maybe what you broke, there's just no way you can hide it from your parents. And eventually they come home. When they do, you can only have two different types of feelings. Either you have great worry if your parents are going to find out what you did, and most often they will, or you have great fear that when they find out, how exactly will they punish you for what you did? These same feelings are the feelings that we should have in God's great judgment day. Jesus will return one day as a judge. And therefore, we can have great worry if Jesus knows everything that we have done. And he does. He is always with us. He sees what we do. And as true God, he even knows our secret thoughts. And therefore, we can have great fear of how Jesus will judge us and now he will punish and condemn us for the sins that we have done. But then Scripture reveals a third option to us, an option that we never would have seen. And we see that in this account. We don't have to have fear and worry in God's great judgment day, but rather have joy and comfort in God's great judgment day. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Who is Jesus talking to here? Why is he saying these things? And what exactly does he mean when he says this? Jesus is talking to the Jewish religious leaders. Jesus has just healed a blind man, and they have no problem with that. But it's the fact that he healed a blind man on the Sabbath. Therefore, they thought that Jesus was sinning against God by doing something on the Sabbath day. To this, Jesus responded, "My Father is always at his work to this very day. And I, too, am working." When they heard this, they hated Jesus all the more. Not only because he did something on the Sabbath day, but also because Jesus was saying he was equal to God himself. And that's why Jesus says these things to them, validating that he truly is God and that he's not sinning against God. He's not doing anything against him. Because what Jesus did, the Father told him to do. Everything that Jesus did because his Father told him to do it. Everything that Jesus did, the Father accepted because the Father loved Jesus and showed him what to do. So here we see that the Father and the Son are one. And they are working together. And this applies to judgment day. Jesus said, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. The Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear. And my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. On the last day, Jesus will judge all the living and the dead. And the reason that Jesus is the one doing the judging is because the Father has entrusted that judgment to Jesus so that all may honor the Son as they honor the Father. And Jesus doesn't judge to please himself. He judges as he hears from his Father, and he does it to please him. This brings us great joy and comfort in God's great judgment day because the Father and the Son are working together. It's not like before judgment day, Jesus said, all of these people will be saved. And the Father looked at it and said, now I don't think each and every one of these people should be saved. It's not like on judgment day, Jesus will say to you, you are declared not guilty of your sins. And then the Father will speak up and say, no, you are guilty of your sins. If we were never told that the Father and the Son work together, then we would only have fear and worry about how each of them would judge us. But the Father and the Son are working together. They are in agreement with the judgment, and therefore their judgment is complete and final. But how will God judge us? What will be the basis of his judgment? Once again, Jesus gives us great joy and comfort in God's great judgment day. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. The basis of God's judgment is whether or not a person has faith in Jesus as their Savior. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned. They have passed over from death to life. And so we have joy and comfort in God's great judgment day, knowing that it's faith that saves us. But let's just say that Jesus only told us how we are saved through faith in him, but he never told us how we could have faith in him. If that were the case, then we would always be trying to manufacture faith in ourselves, motivating ourselves to believe in him. But that is something that we would never do. We are dead in our transgressions and sins. We can't bring ourselves to faith in Jesus, nor would we ever want to. Our sinful nature is hostile to God. It does not care to submit to God and its will, nor can it do so. And even if it were possible to bring ourselves to faith in Jesus, we still wouldn't have any joy and comfort in God's great judgment day. Because we would always be wondering, have I really chosen Christ as my Savior? Have I made a strong enough conviction for Christ in my life? Do I really have faith in him? But Jesus doesn't just tell us how we are saved by having faith in him. He also tells us how we are brought to faith in him. Just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so, the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. I tell you the truth, the time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. It is Jesus, by his power, through the voice of his word, that we have faith in him. Notice that Jesus said, the day has come. Here he's not referring to what will happen on judgment day. Here he is referring to what is happening today. He has brought us out of spiritual darkness and death to His wonderful light and life. He has brought us to faith in Him, which saves us. But why exactly does having faith in Jesus save us? It's because Jesus said that He has life in Him. And yet there was a time when there was no life in Him. It was not the crucifixion and Jesus' sufferings and beatings that caused Him to die. It was not because Jesus had committed some sin that He deserved to die as we do. Rather, by His power, Jesus gave up His life for us. That's the great love of Christ that He has for us. When He died, our sins died with Him. When He died, our sins were forever removed from us. When He died, He reconciled the whole world to God. So that when God looks at you, He doesn't see you as you are, as a sinner. He sees you as Christ. And Jesus, who by that same power gave up His life, with that same power, He raised Himself back to life. His resurrection is God's approval of everything that Christ did to save you from your sins. And so our faith saves us because our faith connects us to Christ who has eternal life in Him. This is why we have joy and comfort in God's great judgment day. That on the basis of faith, we are saved. But then Jesus goes on to say something that almost seems to contradict everything that I have just said. He goes on to say something that might possibly bring back fear and worry in God's great judgment day. For Jesus said, "Do not be amazed at this. For a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear His voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." On the last day, Jesus says that those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. In which camp do you see yourself in? Do you belong to those who have done good who will live, or those who have done evil who will be condemned? Ultimately, we would have to say that we belong in both groups. There have been times that we have done what is good and pleasing to God, but there's also many other times that we have done what is evil. So how will God judge us? Will we rise to live or will we rise to be condemned? And why does Jesus judge us? Because of what we do. Well, understand first of all why God has given us the law in the first place. God has not given us the law with the purpose to condemn us. He has given His law out of love, so that we may know how to live and serve Him out of love. That was the purpose of the law. But it's our sinful nature that saw God's law and seized the opportunity to commit sin. It's God that has said, "Don't do these things." And our sinful nature said, "I will do these things. And I will not do it just once. I will do it again and again and again. And I will not do it in just one way. I will shatter this commandment in every possible way, in every thought, word, and deed." And the commandments where God says, "I want you to do these things," our sinful nature says, I won't do these things. I see no need to do these things, and therefore I will never do them. And I will not do it once. I will not do it again and again and again. And I will not do it in one way. I will do it in every possible way, in every thought, word, and deed. What wretched sinners we are. And this is why the Apostle Paul said, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. Therefore, since we have done what is evil, we deserve to rise on the last day to be condemned. But second of all, we have to truly understand what Jesus is saying here. In the Greek, it's very clear. In the Greek, when Jesus mentions those who do good will live, the Greek word there, to do good, means the generic word to do anything. But when he says those who do evil will rise to be condemned, the Greek word there means to practice evil. It's referring to those who rejoice to do what is wrong. It's referring to those whose desire is to live in sin. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, as believers, that's not you. Christ has brought you to faith. He has created new life in you. And your desire is not to disobey God. Your desire is to do what God wants. And when we still sin against God, what does He want us to do? He wants us to confess our sins to Him, to ask for His forgiveness, and to say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And God does forgive you. He has died to take away all of your sins from you. But it still makes us ask the question, then why is Jesus focusing on those who do good or those who do evil, who rise to live or be condemned? Well, let Scripture shed some light on that question for us. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. We are saved because of faith, but faith is never alone. Faith expresses itself through love. Our good works that are done out of love for God are the evidence of our faith. So on the last day, the basis is whether or not a person has faith. But Christ will point to the evidence of faith or the lack of faith to validate His judgment. And rest assured that God will not bring up a single evil sin that you have done. He can't, because He has died to take away all your sins. Therefore, the only thing that He can point to is the good that you have done out of love for Him. And He will gladly share that in front of everyone on the day of judgment. That is what Jesus means when He says, those who do good will rise to live. And so my brothers and sisters in Christ, do not have any fear or worry in God's great judgment day, but rather have joy in comfort in God's great judgment day. For the Father and the Son work together in their judgment for you. And the basis of that judgment is on faith, which Christ has given to you that saves you. Therefore, go. Live your life of faith, doing good for God, in the joy and comfort in His great judgment day, as you wait for Him to declare you not guilty and to take you to heaven. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.